All right, beautifully done. Thank you very much. Romans chapter 4, please. The book of Romans chapter 4. We'll read two verses of Scripture. Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. I hope you'll be much in prayer for Brother Mike Hodges and Miss Dot Phillips in the passing of their spouse. May the Lord help them and be with them and bless them, encourage them and strengthen them. Romans chapter 4, verse 24. Well, I appreciate you being here. It's good to see the house jam-packed. We need chairs everywhere. I'm kidding with you here, but it is good to see a full house today. Praise the Lord. I'd like to see it this way every week. Amen. That's a little sermon for you right there, by the way. Romans 4:24. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the last two words in verse 25. It's the last two words, our justification. The Bible says that Jesus was delivered for our offenses. That means he died for our sin. But he was raised again for our justification. And I want to preach today on our justification. Let's pray together as we're thinking about the risen Christ. Father, help us this morning. May the will of God be done. Forgive my sin, anything in my life at all that's hindering you. Please forgive me. Remove it. Get it out. I don't want you to be hindered at all. Pray for somebody to be saved today, somebody's life to be changed. Help us to rejoice in what we have in you because you're a risen Savior. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The pyramids of Egypt are famous because they contain the mummified bodies of ancient Egyptian kings. Westminster Abbey in London is renowned because in it rest the bodies of English nobles and notables. Muhammad's tomb is noted for the stone coffin and the bones which it contains. Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C. is revered for its the honored resting place of many outstanding Americans. There is, however, all the difference in the world between the tomb of Christ and all these places which we've just mentioned. They are famous because they draw visitors from afar because of what they contain. While the Garden Tomb is famous because it contains nothing, it's empty. There are over 300 verses concerning the resurrection in the New Testament alone. Over 300 verses in the New Testament alone. Some of those would include Matthew 20 verse 19, Mark chapter 8 verse 31, Luke chapter 18, verse 33, John 2:19, 2 Timothy 1:10, 1 Peter 1:21, Hebrews 13:20, and Romans 8:34. The Scriptures clearly promised that Jesus Christ would rise again from the dead. See, after the Lord Jesus Christ was dead, they sealed the tomb with a stone. They set a Roman seal at the tomb, and they stationed Roman guards at the tomb. In all of these actions that was taken, it was making it virtually impossible for any human being to come in and steal the body of Jesus Christ. However, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28 that the stone was rolled away. Now, folks, listen to me. Either man took him out or God did. And can I say something to you? Jesus' enemy's chief ambition was not to remove the body. They went to the Roman legion, if you will, and saying, please guard this tomb because he said he's going to rise again. Jesus' enemies would never take his body out of the tomb. They were trying to keep it inside. And what I'm saying to you is this. Had they removed the body, like some people try to tell you they did, they would have produced it. And they would have confused the disciples as soon as they preached Jesus' resurrection. Yet the apostles preached the resurrection within a few yards of the empty tomb. And I'm telling you this morning that Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive and doing well. Praise God, he's alive this morning. And I'm telling you that means that we have hope beyond the grave. He was seen of many, many, many people before he ascended back to heaven. to have a seat at the right hand of God. And I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is alive and doing well. You say, how do you know it? I had a talk with him today and he spoke back to me. Can you believe that? Not in an audible voice, but through his word, he met with me in the cab of my truck this morning. He came and moved in on me and I felt the sweet presence of Jesus Christ. You can argue anything, but you can't argue that because that's my story. Amen. You know why we can focus our attention on so many things concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, such as we could preach today on we're going to see our saved loved ones again. Somebody say amen right there. We could preach on that because he lives, we can be forgiven. We could be preaching on because he lives, we're going to have a body just like him some glorious day. But today I felt the Lord leading me to our text. And I want to preach today concerning just one of the many products that we have from the resurrection. And that is, if you're saved, you have been justified. Now, what does this mean? I want to take this beautiful truth made possible only by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says here in our text, he was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. Now understand what that's saying. If he did not rise again, we have no justification. You see what I'm saying? Now I want to preach to you about our justification today. Number one, it's explanation. Number two, it's reception. Number three, it's motivation. Number one, let's notice its explanation. The Word of God tells us that we who are saved have been justified. Now, an obvious question would be, what does that mean? What does it mean to be justified? Now, in answer to this question, explaining its meaning, if you will, I'm going to bring out several thoughts for our consideration. But before I define justification, we need to establish a fact. And that fact is this: we are all sinners. And we are all guilty of breaking the law of God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 3:19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, the law, God's law, it saith to them who are under the law, now get this, that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God. Now, folks, anybody in their right mind would say, I have sinned in my life. By the way, I remind you in the book of James chapter 2, I think it's verse number 10, the Bible says if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. See, it's the law of God. It's not the laws, plural. It's not plural, it's singular. It is the law of God made up of many parts. Our people who've been here any time at all have heard me illustrate this by trying to use a chain link chain, you know, with individual pieces that are intertwined with each other. It's one chain made up of many individual parts. But if you're hanging from that chain from a cliff and the chain is the only thing keeping you from death, listen to me, folks, only one of those chain links have to break to send you to your death. That is the law of God. The law of God is a whole law made up of many, many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of commands. Hundreds of them. But if we just take the Ten Commandments, the first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Have you at all times, in all places, everywhere in your life had God number one? Every time in your life, every decision you've made has been what God wants you to make. Everything you do, you say, everything in life, has God always been number one? If anybody says yes, you're lying. You're lying. Because there's no human being that's ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus Christ who has been completely perfect and had God number one in their life at all times. Not one. Not one. That's the first command, and we've already broken it. Can I say something to you? Before I explain justification, you've got to understand, this will make sense when I explain justification, you've got to be justified from something. You understand what I'm saying? And that something is sin. We have broken the law of God. We're sinners. Aren't you glad you came today to hear that you're bad? You're a sinner. You're bad. By the way, there will be churches who will try to tell you to feel good about yourself.
Just believe in yourself. You believe in yourself and God will make sure it comes to pass. Show that to me in the Bible and I'll put some salt and pepper on it and eat it. I'll eat it. We are not good, we are bad. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. We have broken the law of God. Are you with me? We are sinners. Now, that being the case, let me explain justification. What does it mean to be justified? Because of our sin, the Bible teaches in Romans 6:23 and Revelation 20, verse 15, because of our sin, we deserve hell. We do not deserve heaven. We deserve the lake of fire. We deserve to burn forever. By the way, that's not hateful preaching, that's loving preaching, because it's the truth. And somebody tells you the truth, it's because they love you. And God has said, whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God said that. That's what we all deserve. However, if you have been saved, you have been justified. What does that mean? What's the explanation? I'm going to give you several things here, and I expect every one of you to remember everything I'm getting ready to say. I'm kidding. I'm going to overload you today. You can't get to the bottom of justification. You can't fully explain it. But if you'll catch something here, something, if you're saved, something inside of you, man, that sounds good right there. If you're not saved, this is available to you. If you are saved, you are justified, and what I'm getting ready to bring out is what you have now. And you ought to rejoice. But if you're not saved, this is available to you today. Isn't that wonderful? Let me explain it. Webster defines it as to be just or right, to be free from blame or guilt. Now let some of these things just sink in here today. It is a change, get this. It is a change from guilty and condemned to acquitted and accepted. Let these things sink in, folks. It is to be discharged from the guilt and the punishment of our sins. It's to be rendered just, innocent, and free. It's to be pardoned and accepted as friends. See, the Bible tells us that we are born at enmity with God. In other words, before you get saved, you are God's enemy. God's mad at you. He's wrath. His wrath abides on you and abides on your sin. But when you get saved and you're justified, the wrath of God, the enemy with God, now God becomes your friend. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's a blessing right there. It's to have your sins remitted, to be acquitted from wrath due sin and be admitted to glory. It's to be cleansed, pardoned, and have your sins blotted out of God's remembrance. It's to have your sins cast behind God's back, buried in the depths of the deepest sea, removed as far as the east is from the west. It's to be counted righteous in God's sight. It's when God the Father looks down at you and he sees no spot and he reckons you innocent before his holy eyes. It makes you to where the holy law of God, now get this, folks, it makes it to where the holy law of God cannot condemn you. And the accuser of the brethren, that's the devil, can lay nothing to your charge. It's having the verdict come down from God, not guilty. Man, that's good right there. Here's what it is, let's go on. It is a poor, weak, and defective sinner becoming reckoned complete and perfect and faultless before God. It's having a sin debt, but having nothing, right here, but having nothing to pay for it. In other words, you owe it, but you can never pay it. And yet it's already been settled and crossed out forever. It's when the demands of the law have been fully satisfied and the claims of justice have been met on your behalf. It's when you deserve punishment, and yet the punishment has already been borne, and the wrath of God has already fallen, and you have escaped. Folks, listen to me. It's when, listen, the Bible plainly teaches that there must be a blood sacrifice. The Bible plainly teaches that the law of God must be completely done. No sin, no blot, nothing. And yet there's no human being outside the Lord Jesus Christ who has completely, totally kept the whole law of God. The law doesn't show us that we're good. The law shows us that we're bad. We haven't kept it. We've broken it. And yet Jesus Christ stepped out of the portals of glory, and he was born of the Virgin Mary, and he lived a perfect, sinless, I'm talking about life, what you could never do, Jesus Christ did. He never broke the law of God. He kept the whole law of God at all times. He was sinless. He was perfect. He never sinned. And he went to the cross of Calvary. And as there he hung and bled and died, because he was sinless and he kept the whole law of God, he was dying for me and he was dying for you. And they buried him. Did God accept his sacrifice? Did God say, yes, I am appeased. Yes, my wrath has fallen. He said yes when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's saying, God the Father was saying, I am satisfied with this. And he rose again so that we can be justified. So that means that what we can never do, he did it. And because when we trust him as our Savior, he comes into our heart, the wrath of God has fallen on him. Therefore, it'll never fall on us because he has justified us in the sight of God. That doesn't mean that we're not sinners. It simply means that Jesus Christ has already borne our payment. And when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the sinless sacrifice of his Son. He sees Jesus. And because he sees Jesus, he sees justified. 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 Somebody put it this way, justification is the declared purpose of God to regard and treat those sinners who believe in Jesus Christ as if they had not sinned. On the ground of the merits of the Savior, it's not mere pardon. Pardon is a free forgiveness of past sins. It has reference to those sins as forgiven and blotted out. Justification has respect to the law and to God's future dealings with the sinner. It is an act by which God determines to treat him hereafter as righteous as if he had not sinned. The basis for this is the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, merit that we can plead as if we were our own. He has taken our place and died in our stead. He has met the descending stroke of justice. Remember when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was bearing the wrath of God for your sin. And yet, when it should have fallen on our heads, it fell on his. And when you trust him as your Savior, that wrathful hand of God that is coming down on sin and on sinners, whenever you trust Christ as your Savior, that wrathful hand of God is removed and now smiles on his face and saying, I'm going to let you live with me for all eternity. That's justification. By the way, in Romans chapter 5, you're right there at it. Look at verse 1 and following. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Look at verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. In Romans 5, 1 to 11, we see some more things about justification. You know what it means? It means in verse number 1, you have peace with God. You know, man's born in sin and therefore enmity with him. That means there's no peace with him. There's no hope in this world. However, when a person is justified, he is given peace with God, which means his judging hand will never fall on him, because it's already fallen on Christ. Verse 2, we see it means to have access to God. When a person's justified, he now has open access to God. He can approach the throne of grace without fear and trembling. He's been accepted, in other words. In verse 2, we see that he has God's grace. The grace of God is simply God's unmerited favor, something that you don't deserve. This grace is only given to those who are justified. Verse 2, we see we have rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. You know what that means? That means being justified should cause you to rejoice in the promise that some glorious day you're going to spend all eternity in the immediate and magnificent glory of God. I don't know if this is sinking in with you. It's sinking in with me a little bit. You can't understand fully what it means, but I know this, it sounds pretty good to me. It means in verses 9 and 10 that we've been saved from wrath. Being justified means we have been delivered from the penalty of sin in hell. We have been delivered from the wrath of God being poured out upon sin. Let me give you some illustrations here to kind of just summarize the explanation of justification. There was a man in England who put his Rolls, his car, that Rolls Royce, whatever you call him, you know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to identify it as the car from here on out, but this car on a boat and went across to the continent to go on a vacation, a holiday. While he was driving around Europe, something happened to the motor of his car. So he cabled the people back in England and said, I'm having trouble with my car. What do you suggest I do? So the company flew a mechanic over, and the mechanic repaired the car and just left that man over there with it to continue with his vacation. Well, this man began to imagine. He's like, good night. Wonder how much this is going to cost me when I get back. So when he got back to England, he wrote the people a letter and asked how much he owed them. How much do I owe you for the car? He received a letter from the office that read, and I quote, Dear sir, there is no record anywhere in our files that anything ever went wrong with a Rolls Royce. Now you and I know what they were doing, don't you? But you know that's what justification is. It's when God looks at you and says, I see nothing wrong with him. I don't see one thing wrong with her. Are you awake out there? Does that mean anything to you that when God Almighty looks at you, if you're saved today, if you're justified, that means he looks at you, he doesn't see, they broke my law. Hell, hell! No, he says, I see Jesus. They're perfect. You know what that means? It's no longer hell, it's heaven. You go to him and say, forgive me. He's like, what are you talking about? Because he divinely removes the sin from his mind. Isn't that something that the all-knowing God doesn't know about your sin if you're saved? I'm telling you, folks, don't try to figure it out. Just rejoice in it. A friend took William Callahan down and out into a gospel service. He was gloriously saved. But then he tried to live down his old reputation and found it very hard. The police kept him shadowed, not believing the work of grace in his life. And after 5 years had gone by, he went to Chicago and through the aid of a Christian lawyer got his photos from the police. He didn't want to be known as a crook anymore, you see. Then he employed a lawyer to get his photo from the penitentiary at Joliet and to have his measurements there destroyed, whatever that means. I'm not exactly sure what that means. But the reply came from the warden and it said this, You may have got the records from the Chicago police, but you can't get them away from the state of Illinois. Sometime after this, nervous and in poor health while staying at a sanatorium in Battle Creek, he was with three governors present, including Atgeld of Illinois. In other words, the state of Illinois is the one that he's trying to get his records destroyed from. The governor's at this meeting, and this man who's been saved is giving a speech telling of his conversion and his attempt to get his records from Joliet. When he got through, Governor Atgeld was wiping his eyes and said, I'll see what I can do for you. A month later, Mr. Callahan received a letter from the executive mansion, Springfield, state of Illinois. And I read and I quote, here's what it said. My dear Mr. Callahan, it gives me pleasure to enclose your photograph from the penitentiary of Joliet and to tell you that your records and measurements there have all been destroyed. There's no record except in your memory that you were even there. You have the gratitude and best wishes of your friend, John P. Atgeld. Here's this man. Can you imagine? He's guilty, but he's been saved, and he wants his sin to be, I'm talking about his reputation to be removed. He doesn't want to be known as a crook, so he's asking and pleading for his records to be destroyed. He gets in the meeting, and the governor hears his story, and he says, I'll see what I can do. Can you imagine when he opened that letter? And he said, Dear sir, your request has been granted. There is absolutely no record except in your mind that you were ever even in this place. That's justification, folks. You know what it is? It's when King Jesus went on your behalf to the cross. And when you trust him as your Savior, God Almighty says, there's no record anywhere in my mind that you've ever sinned. I'm laughing, but I'm laughing out of joy in my heart. Folks, listen to me. This is a poor attempt on my part, and I know that, to try and explain a little bit about what it means to be justified. But can I say this to you? Who in their right mind, even after hearing my poor explanation, who in their right mind would say, I don't want that? Who in their right mind would say, I don't want God to look at me and see me as perfect? I don't want God to look at me and see me without sin. I'd rather him look at my sin and send me to hell someday. By the way, can I tell something to you? God sends nobody to hell. They send themselves when they refuse to receive Christ. Number one, the explanation. Number two, quickly, it's reception. Now, there may be somebody listening to me right now who knows they need to be justified in the eyes of the all-knowing God. By the way, if you're not justified in his sight, you're not going to heaven. It's that simple. But you may be saying here right now, I need that. I need to be justified. Logical explanation is this. How do you get it? Does it come by doing the best you can? Do you get justified by getting baptized? Do you get justified by turning over a new leaf, joining a church, or giving in the offering plate? No. How can you be justified in his sight? Let me say this loud and clear. You can only be justified by simply having faith in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ and asking him to come into your heart to forgive your sin and be your Savior. That is it. You say, Jody, why is it so important? By the way, Romans 3, 19 to 28. Romans 5, 1 and 2 and verse 9. You ought to read that and you go home. For time's sake, I'm not going to do that. Romans 3, 19 to 28. Read it for yourself. Romans 5, 1 and 2 and verse 9. The whole thing, it's not what you do. It's what he has done. And you simply believe him. Look at 5 verse 1. Therefore being justified by faith. It's by faith. And I'm telling you today, Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Somebody put it this way, how dangerous it is to join anything of our own to the righteousness of Christ in pursuit of justification before God. Jesus Christ will never endure this. It reflects upon his work dishonorably. He will be all or none in our justification. He has finished the work. What need is there of our additions? And if not, to what purpose are they? Can we finish that which Christ himself could not complete? Did he finish the work and will he ever divide the glory and praise of it with us? No. Christ is no half savior. It's a hard thing to bring proud hearts to rest upon Christ for righteousness. God humbles the proud by calling sinners wholly from their own righteousness to Christ for their justification. Here's what it's saying here. Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross. He was buried and rose again. He lived a perfect sinless life. It is a stench in God's nostrils for somebody to say that's not enough. Do you understand that any kind of a doctrine or religion that tries to tell you you have to do something, you have to be baptized, you have to live a good life, you have to blow somebody up who you think's an infidel, anybody else who adds anything to it is simply saying Jesus Christ and what he did was not enough. Can I say something to you? If what the Son of God did is not enough, nothing you do will be enough. Amen or not? And I'm telling you, you know what the reception of it is? You simply accept Jesus who did it all in your place. Imagine a man before a judge who's been given the choice of $100 or serving 90 days in jail. The judge gets up and says he must have every cent of the $100 or it's 90 days. He gets up and he pleads about his wife who's an invalid and his hungry children at home, and he tells such a heart-rending story that people start digging into their pockets. The judge even gives some, but it comes out that they raised $99.95. That's all that was in the courtroom. The judge gets up and says, I know it's only 5 cents, but it's $100. That's the fine. Take him off to jail. Do you see him walking off? He's brokenhearted and he sticks his hands in his pockets and he feels something. And he pulls it out and it's a nickel. And he goes back and he says, I'm free, I'm free. Question, in that man's mind, what freed him? The 99.95 or his own nickel? Are you listening to me? When you get to heaven, if you get to heaven, there'll be no nickels to your account, folks. You're not going to pull out anything and say, I'm free because of what I did. No, Jesus Christ, who is the judge, he condemned sin. At the same time, he paid the entire $100 for you. And he said, the only thing I want you to do is simply receive me. Do you admit that you have sinned? Do you understand that you have broken God's law? Do you understand that you could never pay it back because one sin is enough to condemn you to hell? Yet Jesus Christ has done what you can never do, and he says, all I want you to do is say yes to me, accept what I've done, ask me to come into your heart. And if you do that, God says, justified. Justified. Based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe are justified. Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. John 3:16-18:36, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, Jesus said, has everlasting life. If you're ever going to be justified in the sight of God, it will be because you have had faith and believed in Jesus Christ who died for your sin. You don't come to God and say, God, I want to be saved and then I will do this to help it. No, it's I realize that Jesus Christ has done it all. I can't add a thing to it. I can't take away a thing from it. It's him and him alone. And all I've got to do is ask him to come into my heart, and you come. Nothing in your hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. You are simply believing in Jesus Christ. And if you do that, folks, listen to me, please. If you believe in Jesus, you ask him to come into your heart and forgive you, he'll justify you. Somebody said faith gives nothing, contributes nothing, pays nothing, performs nothing. It only receives, takes, accepts, grasps, and embraces the glorious gift of Christ. It's not what you've done or can do, it's what he's already done. And you simply invite him in. Number three, it's motivation. When an individual really understands, number one, that they're a sinner standing in the wrath of God who will judge sin. And when they understand that Jesus Christ has paid that sin debt for them so they can be justified. You know what that does? That motivates us. I'm just going to mention these. But number one, it ought to motivate you if you don't know him, receive him today. He did all that for you. He died for you. He was buried and rose again for you so you can be justified in God's sight. It ought to motivate somebody today who's not saved to get saved and ask Jesus into their hearts. if you're saved. Would you agree with that? Say amen. Number two, it ought to motivate we who are a child of God to live a life that pleases Him after all He's done for us. And number three, it ought to motivate us who are saved to tell others the wonderful justification story, that what's happened to us can happen to them. Now I'm coming to a close. I promise you, look here, I'm right there. I've got that right there to go. Okay, I'm just about done. Acts 17:30-31 says this. At the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. Let me paraphrase this. It's saying God's telling everybody, get saved, trust Christ, because there's a judging day coming where He's going to judge righteously. In other words, He's not going to make a mistake. Everybody understand that? He's not going to make a mistake. Whereof He hath given assurance that judgment is coming. He's given assurance of this unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. You know what that verse tells me? That because He raised Jesus from the dead, He's going to judge me. And He's going to judge you. And He's commanding everybody to repent. My friend, because Jesus Christ has been raised, He will judge the world. That includes you. That includes me. You know, the sounds of a trumpet blown before the judges bring no terror to the innocent, but it brings horror to the guilty. You know, there's coming a day when the voice of the archangel and the trump of God will sound. For many, it'll then be too late. No hope shall stand in that day but the hope of the justified man. No peace shall prove solid but the peace which is built on justification. Oh, let me simply make this plea here. If you are not justified, you are in great eternal danger. You and God are enemies. By the way, before I got justified, so was I. You and God are enemies. The wrath of God abides on you. God is angry with you every day. Your ways, your words, your thoughts, your actions are a continual offense to Him. They're unpardoned, they're unforgiven. There's one step between you and hell. Yet there sits a mighty Savior, able and willing to give you peace. Will you trust Him? Perhaps it's been 10, 20, 30, 40 years that He's been calling to you and you've refused. He's cried, come to me. Maybe somebody's practically said, I will not. For what have you refused Christ? For something or someone that you must leave someday. I beseech you today, if you don't know Him, be sure you do before you leave. And if you do know Him, tell the world about Him. He was delivered for our offenses, but He was raised again for our justification. Have you been justified? Beautiful word, isn't it? May the Lord add His blessing. Father, help us today, I pray. Help us as we guide this invitation. May the will of God be done. May souls be saved. May lives be changed. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm beginning to deal with you quietly there at your seat. As soon as they get ready, they can begin to play. I wonder today, in a crowd this size, is there somebody somewhere who does not know for sure that heaven is your home? See, there's two kinds of people listening to me today. There are those who have been justified in God's sight, and there are those who have not been justified in His sight. That's the only two types of people that are alive today. And you are one of those two. You are either justified in His sight or you are not. If you are justified in His sight, that means you're not leaning on anything you've done. You're not relying on anything you've done or doing now. It means that you have, that there's been a time in your life when you have understood that you were a sinner and you did not deserve heaven, but Jesus Christ died in your place, and you simply came to Him and asked Him to come into your heart, forgive your sin, and the best you know how, you simply invited Him to come into your heart to be your Savior. If that has happened to you and you meant business, you weren't playing games, you really meant business, He changed your life and He justified you. But in a crowd this size, there's no doubt that there's one, maybe many, who do not know Jesus. Folks, listen, He does not force Himself on anybody. He gives you the opportunity to walk out of this place the same way you walked in. But that'll be your decision. And if you leave and you're not justified, if you die like that, it is hell forever. But you'll go trampling on the blood of Jesus Christ. They begin to play through softly. I want to deal with you there at your seat. If there's somebody listening to me right now and you say, Jody, I need to be justified. I want to know I'm saved. I want to know my sins are forgiven. I want to know that when God looks down here at me, I want to know that He's not mad at me. He's not angry with me. His wrath is not falling on me. I'm not on my way to hell. I want Him to see me justified. If that's you, do you understand that you're a sinner? Whether you've sinned once or 1,000 times, makes no difference how many times, but do you understand that there's been at least one time in your life where you've done things wrong? If you say, I know that, I know I'm a sinner. Do you know in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you? Died for you and your sin. He wants to forgive your sin. The only thing stands between you and salvation is saying, Jesus, I don't want my sin. I understand that I could never do it on my own. And I'm simply the best I know how to do this. I am asking you to come into my heart, and forgive me, save me. Nothing what I've done or doing or going to do, but all what you have done, and you by faith ask Him to come into your heart. Do you know you can do that there at your seat? I'm going to form a simple prayer. And by the way, folks, this is not easy believism. It's not in this prayer that you're praying. It's in your heart. If you know you're a sinner, Jesus died for your sin and was buried and rose again. And if in your heart you want to be saved, you want to be forgiven, you want to be justified, you want to go to heaven, if you'll mean this prayer from your heart, God will save you. I'm going to form it. I don't want you to pray it out loud. I want you to pray it silently there at your seat. But would you pray it sincerely? Would you ask Jesus to come into your heart? Oh, do you see the importance of this? Without it, you're not going to heaven. Without it, the wrath of God's abiding on you. Here's the prayer. I hope you'll pray it. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. But I know that You died for me. And I'm asking right now that You come into my heart. Please forgive my sins. Save my soul. I'm trusting You and You alone. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you're there today and you say, Jody, I prayed that prayer with you, I'm not ashamed. By the way, you should never be ashamed of trusting Christ as your Savior. If you're there today and you say, Jody, as you prayed that prayer, I prayed it with you. And I'm going to tell you something, Jody, I'm not playing games. I'm not playing games. The best I know how, I'm in it. I'm in every word of it. You say, Jody, I prayed with you and I meant what I prayed. I really, really meant it. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Put it right back down. Anybody at all? God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else? Put your hand up. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else? You say, Jody, this is me. I prayed with you. I prayed that prayer. I meant it. I'm glad I did. I'm not ashamed. Somebody else, would you raise your hand? Quickly now. Quickly. You say, Jody, this is me. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else? Somebody else? Somebody else? Put it up. Put it up. Say, Jody, this is me. I've prayed it. I prayed it. I'm glad I did. Anybody else? Anybody else? We're not asking you to join the church, anything like that. Just want to rejoice with you. You say, Jody, I prayed it with you. I did. Put your hand up. Put it right back down. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. Thank you.
Yes. Somebody else? Somebody else? Yes. If you raise your hand to that question, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to lift your eyes and look right up here at me. Would you do that? If you raised your hand, I want you to look right up here at me. If you're around somebody who is still seated with you and you know them, do you know them? I want you to poke them. Would you do that? If you get poked, I want you to look at me. Would you do that? If you're with somebody that you know, I want you to poke somebody beside you. Would you do that? If you get poked, I want you to look right up here at me. Just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And I'm going to ask these folks to come. Let us take a bite. I'm going to share with them, make sure they understand what they're doing. You understand what I'm saying? And I want you who are looking at me to come with them. You understand the devil's at work. Look how long it is up there. Look how far it is up there. Oh, what are they going to do? All we're going to do is take a Bible and share with you. Make sure you understand that you're going to heaven. That's it. We want to make sure you understand. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Those of you all who are looking at me, may the Lord help you. May God help you with this. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I need some altar workers to come forward, some men, some ladies. Father, take this, use it in a great way in Jesus' name. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. Altar workers, please help me here as he sings. You come now. Come now, folks. Come now, folks. Come on. Come on. Come on now. Say, this is me. I've prayed this. I've asked Jesus into my heart. I'm not ashamed of this. This is what it is. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Wonderful. We've got a family here coming to join.
Come to thee,
come on now.
O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
If you're standing, you can look this way. There's time for you. There's time for you. Hey, the devil will try to make people ashamed. The devil will try to make people ashamed. Can I say something to you? Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ was not ashamed of you when he hung on the cross? And all he's asking is that you don't be ashamed of him. Have you know somebody who's not justified? You know somebody, they're not justified. Would you raise your hand? They're not a Christian. When's the last time you told them about it? They might get mad. Let them get mad. I'd rather them get mad at you than have God mad at them. Amen or not. May the Lord help you. The Lord's working here. We're doing fine on time. We're just a few minutes late. But I believe when people are being dealt with about their salvation, I think it's worthy, don't you? No doubt about that. Praise the Lord. Do you have some information there? We'll share this. Good. Faith Dennison. Which one is Faith? Faith. Wonderful. Road bus 7 today, and you're coming today, and you are accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Am I right? So you are trusting Christ to take you to heaven when you die, correct? Wonderful. We're so happy for you, so proud of you. How old are you? You're 10 years old. Are you married? Let's keep it that way. Okay, very good. This is Ron and Amanda, Grayson, and Alexis Castle. If you folks want to stand there, please. Miss Charlotte, you can stand with them. They've been visiting the church for a long time, and they are coming. Brother Ron and Miss Amanda are coming by letter from Double Springs Baptist Church in Kingsport, and the children are coming by statement. All have been saved. All have been scripturally baptized, and they are coming to join our church. We're happy that most of them are here. I'm kidding. Have you happy for them? Say a big amen. Could I have the pleasure of the church that we receive them into the membership of our church? Brother Steve, Brother Stover, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. Amen. Here's what I want to do, okay? I know it's Easter. I know you've got meals waiting on you, all these kind of things. We are dealing with some folks about their soul at the altar. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask if you folks wouldn't mind to go out first. If you wouldn't mind to do that, I want our folks to be able to shake your hand and say thank you for being here. I hope I'm not embarrassing you here, but if you wouldn't mind to go out there and do that, this would be great. I'm going to pray. As soon as I say amen, remind all the visitors, if you're here with the white card, go out and take it to the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift. And I'm going to ask you to quietly leave, okay? I'm not kicking you out. I'm just saying I'm asking you quietly to kind of make your way out because we're dealing with some precious things here, okay? Everybody understand what I just said? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Bless this day. Bring us back tonight. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are a deacon, you need to be here.